Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser said it all.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me yet again for another episode. And on this episode, we have Bob Smith returning to the show. My old friend talks to me about baseball, wrestling, cartoons, and much, much more. It's just a very fun, casual chat between two old-time wrestling fans, or as Bob puts it, just old wrestling fans. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But before we get there, let's have a few ads, and then we'll come back with my interview to the returning Bob Smith.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Phil Singer Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is PhilSingerGames, PhilSingerGames.com to order now.
If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm joined by returning guest, former Pro Wrestling Magazine writer and current host of the Outdated Wrestling Hour, Bob Smith. Bob, how are you?
Not just any magazine, my fine feathered friend. It was Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and
that's
don't
right.
You forget it.
That's right. That's right. Well, I figure, you know, surely the listeners know that, right? Hopefully they listened to the other episode we did. But
you know, it's amazing. Some people found the show and didn't know who I was. Had no clue I was with the wrestling. Well, of course, I say at the beginning of every show that's just to kind of make people figure out why they tuned in the first place. But it's one of those things where I think, I don't know if it presses anywhere. The reason I started the podcast, it's almost 3 years ago now. The reason I started, of course, I was on another podcast before and I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
The thing was, somebody told me, well, you're what they call in the business an authority voice. You were in the business. You had, you know, some connection to the industry. And I said, yeah, I guess you're right. So that I had another podcaster say, you ought to just go off on your own and do it. And I went off on my own and did it. And it's been nothing but fun since. So, and I get to have people like you on my show. So it makes it all better.
Well, and things just keep growing over there on the Outdated Wrestling Hour, right? Since we last talked on here, you now part of the WrestleCopia Network with me. Mm-hmm. You've had some great guest discussions. So how are you feeling about the podcast now? You said 3 years in.
I personally think we've hit, like you said, I think we've hit a stride in a way. I added about 9 months ago, 10 months ago, we added Joe Puccio, who leads off the show with me in a discussion. Just to add a little levity to things, kind of, I could show my own personality a little better if it isn't just a straight interview, you know, format and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep things light for the most part. And, you know, like you, my whole idea of doing these podcasts is not to have another shoot show. I just want to give thanks for all the great wrestling we got to see, you know, when you and I were kids and even into our adult years. And I got lucky enough to work in the business for a while. I mean, that's it. That's really the whole thing in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm an antidote to all the screaming that goes on other podcasts and other networks, you know. But in any event, no, it's Joe's been a real lift. He's a great guy, and I had no idea he lives 2 miles from where I record. I had no.
I mean, when you guys you guys talk about pretty much anything and everything, right? Besides the wrestling stuff, right? I mean, you've talked about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame recently. Apparently there's a lot of talk about ice cream cakes. Is that what's all?
Well, you know, we have a second there. Well, you kind of conflated. We have a second podcast now called the Outdated.
Gotcha.
Okay. And that comes out about every 2 or 3 weeks. And that's a labor of love for me. Just looking back at old things. We have a show coming on very soon with our friend Steve Generelli, and we're going to look at game shows throughout the history of television. So it's just stuff we like, stuff that, you know, people may have forgotten about in another. It's a similar theme.
What was your,
as far as the Carvel thing goes, I don't know how that started. I don't remember. I better work on getting them as a sponsor, because we're talking about Carvel on every doggone show now.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you know what? It works. I get more like Facebook messages and stuff about the Carvel than any other subject we talk about. You ever tried it with the pumpkin? Oh gosh, it's people are amazing.
What's your speaking of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, what's your take on the class this year? Have you seen
this year's class? I saw who's in.
I can't remember.
Yeah, pretty good. No, there's some people that deserve to be. I think Cocker's going in.
Yeah, there's some names on there. You're like, man, how are they not already in? I mean.
Well, yeah, we're doing a show. We just finished up a show with another guest, Glenn Burgett, about people who should be in the fame and aren't. Like, I'll just say it out loud here. I don't want to telegraph it. How are Peter, Paul, and Mary not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Think about that. We're going back to the 60s. They had an influence on everybody from all the folk rockers to Dylan and everybody else. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's almost unfathomable to me, some of these admissions or omissions.
I had a personal stake this year. I really wanted the Black Crowes to get in this year. This was their first year on the ballot. I'm a huge Black Crowes fan, but they didn't quite make it, but that's all right. How many people get in?
I can see them getting in, though.
I think they will eventually. But
I don't know if it's political. I don't know if they're trying to make themselves look smart. Like, you know, some of the – you really have to stretch your thinking cap to figure that some of the people who haven't been inducted had anything to do with anything close to rock and roll.
Yeah.
But I think the word rock and roll now just means popular music, you know?
Yep.
And if that's the case, put the Carpenters in and everybody else. I mean, seriously, there are some people that were, you know, to me, the criterion for being in the Hall of Fame in entertainment is not only your own success and talents, but how it influenced other artists moving forward.
Yeah.
I think you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I do. Well, like on your show, some guys you've had on recently, like you've had Brian Solomon on recently. I think you've had him on a couple times. You had Ed Helsinki, which I had on one time too. You have these, when you have these guys like that, who like yourself worked in magazines, in wrestling magazines, do you, is there a spark that you feel happens in that conversation where you have this unique perspective that you share and a shared experience? I mean,
it's funny. I actually, this is just an FYI. I actually have had the luck in the last few weeks to actually meet in person for the first time, Brian R. Solomon.
Yeah. And I saw that picture. Yeah.
We had a couple of meetings together and we had a lot of fun. He is the only person my knees knocked when I asked, will you come on the show? I was such an awe. I had just finished the Sheik book, and I was absolutely in awe of his acumen, his writing style, everything. I just think he's the best of the new breed of guys that are out there.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him just a little while ago, the Monsoon book, a biography of Gabriel Monsoon's coming out in the fall.
Yeah.
This is the stuff we want. I mean, right? And to think of that, who would have thought about doing a book about Gorilla Monsoon, right? Seriously. That was a brilliant choice of a subject matter, because he was two parts of the business and one guy.
Yep.
So it's just really something else. But in terms of the magazine guys, yes, I feel a kindred spirit to all the authors I've had of the show, like Ian Douglas and others. Oliver Bateman. I mean, everybody who's been on the show that's been a writer, I just feel kindred spirit, because it's like, man, I have been a professional writer since the early 80s. And even though I don't have a full-time gig writing at present, it's still me. It's still who I am. It's still what made me everything, really. Writing did everything for me. And
yeah,
to read real quality work that's serious in 2025 is a big deal to me.
Yeah.
And I think PWI now, the new PWI that's out now, is as good as it ever has been, maybe a little better. It's a tremendous magazine. I'm just thrilled that pro wrestling can still have some journalistic standards somewhere, which is really cool.
Which obviously Brian Solomon, a part of that too. I cannot wait for the Monsoon book, because there's a whole generation of wrestlers who think Gorilla Monsoon, and all they think is, you know, the announcer with Jesse or with Bobby Heenan. And they, you know, there's a whole nother side and career aspect about the Gorilla Monsoon that some of them may not be know how impactful he was prior to that.
I mean, he was involved in management really while he was active as a pro wrestler. You know, basically when he turned good guy,
mm-hmm.
So I believe when he really got entrenched in the entire workings of the old WWWF.
Yep.
And I always said, and I talked to Brian about it, I'm like, how did he go from this drooling, groaning Manchurian giant into this erudite announcer who is like the nicest guy on the planet? It's the same guy. You know, if you look at pictures of early Gorilla Monsoon, he looks like a wildebeest. You know, disheveled hair, huge, snarly guy.
Yeah.
You know, like any other monster heel of that era. it's like, I'm looking forward to just to see how that all turned, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm really looking forward to that book so much.
Yeah. And I see there in the background, right? I see some baseball stuff on the wall behind you, right? We're about halfway through the baseball season. You're a Mets fan, right?
I'm a Mets fan. Yeah. I'm a funny baseball fan. Some people really get up and hype about their teams. I'm a weird baseball fan. I'm a stats guy. I like to, my favorite thing after all these years is to pick up a newspaper or look online and read box scores and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I like managing along with the managers is my favorite part of baseball. I don't have a favorite player. I don't have any hero worship about any of today's stars. Not when it was like, when I was 12 years old. Sure. when I was wearing shorts, I had a lot of ball players I idolized, you know, but no, these days I kind of look at it more from the strategy of baseball. That's what I really enjoy.
Yeah.
The problem with modern baseball is just they're taking all the baseball out of the baseball when you go to the ballpark.
Yep.
You can't hear yourself think. There's a DJ playing in the background. You can't hear the pitching changes come over the PA. You know, everybody's singing Shayla Luna or something. And it's a family atmosphere. God bless. But you know what? Bring back the little organ between the innings and let me keep score. Well, yeah, I would much prefer that.
I miss the paper. I remember when USA Today became such a big sensation and how they were just the leader in the box scores. And, you know, on their weekend edition or whatever, would have that list of like the top 100 average batters for each league and just all the stats. And, I mean, I remember getting in on the cusp of fantasy baseball when it first started to become a thing, and we had to use box scores and to do it ourselves, you know, hand calculate. And it was wild, but I'm a Cardinals fan, so we're
there you go. They're bouncing back.
Yeah, we're a streaky team this year, but
better than the last couple of years, though.
That's very true. We'll see what happens here at the deadline, though. I don't know if they're going to be buyers or sellers. Depends on what happens over the next couple of weeks, I guess. But
absolutely right.
All right, well, back to wrestling then. Another thing I think we have a shared mindset. Let's talk. I just want to briefly talk about the NWA. because there's some news recently that they're on going to be on the Roku channel.
Right.
And I believe when we spoke last time, you as well as I, when they first revived, were a fan of the product at first and that studio wrestling. And I thought it was a breath of fresh air. I very much enjoyed it, but it seemed like it fell quick and hard and it lost me pretty quickly.
I think the pandemic had a lot to do with that.
I think it hurt them a lot.
Right before the pandemic, I was buying the pay-per-views. I was literally paying money out of my pocket to buy the pay-per-views.
Yep.
And I didn't miss it when it was on every week. I guess it was on YouTube at that point or something.
Yep.
Didn't miss it. I watched it on my Roku on my television. I looked at it like a weekly show at 6 o'clock on Mondays or whatever it was, right?
Yep.
And they had Eli Drake, they had James Storm, they had
Ricky Starks,
Tim Storm, they had Ricky Starks, they had, just go down the list, Jim Cornette on color, Dave Marquez on interviews. Everything was just so spiffy and so old school, and it had the 605 vibe.
Yep.
I loved it. I said, finally, something I can sink my teeth into. And, you know, and Mr. Kennedy was there. Just go down the list, all of them. And I think the pandemic came along, and obviously some guys signed in different areas, you know, and I don't blame them for that. Who can, you know, it worked out well for LA Knight and people like that, you know, but
yeah,
I don't understand what they've been doing since, you know, in terms of what they're presenting. The last two things I watched in the NWA were the cocaine pay-per-view and that soured me. And then I tuned in on a random night and they had an opening angle where one guy was supposed to hit another guy in the junk, punch him in the junk. And I went, that's it for me. This is supposed to be funny. Is this wrestling? I mean, you know, I really soured on that right then and there. To me, a promotion, how can I take their championship seriously if they're doing comedy, really lame comedy at the beginning of the show? And I'm old school. 75% of wrestling comedy is lame. I just when you try to be funny, you're never funny.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I mean, we've had too many instances now. It's getting to be a habit of these things popping up and saying they're going to be an alternative, right? They're going to be something different, more sports-based or however, you know. We even got that promise with AEW and it ends up being where you feel like you're just watching WWE Lite in the end. And I don't know. I hope maybe they could tweak things a bit since they're going to have some more eyes on the Roku. But I don't know. I don't foresee that. I don't know.
It's not impossible, but you know, a lot of the people they've been presenting, how do I be nice about this? I'll put it this way. You know, I'm looking at some people that are, you know, being touted there, and they're not ready for prime time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a nice way to say it. You know, they're just, bless a few of them. I'm a big fan of a few of the people that pop in and out of there. I mean, I like Tom Latimer. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he looks like, I don't know why he's not working one of the big two. He's fantastic. I like Damien Sandow. Come home, right? Come home. Come home, please. Who else is there that I you know who I really like? You know who I really like? The new Butcher Vashon, Wrecking Ball Ligursky.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. The name, the countenance, the way he wrestles, everything. He is old school. I'm a big fan of Wrecking Ball. I just think he's the bee's knees. If I know he's going to be on TV, I will switch it on and see if I can catch one of his matches. Yeah. I like it. And I think he gets it.
Yeah.
You know, from I've heard interviews of him on certain podcasts, and I think he kind of gets the whole vibe of professional wrestling. So I would love it if one of the big two signed him.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of upside. So what was your take a couple months ago with the Joel Goodart TWA one and done, right? Because you had Joel on your podcast like I did. You talked to him prior to the event.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, TWA's kind of from your magazine era and your neck of the woods there in the Northeast, you know, they were the thing then. Have you seen anything of the event or heard any, you know, the feedback, or what did you just think in general of the fact that Joel got to do it?
I think it's great. I'm really happy that he got it on his own terms, you know, and from what I understood, the card was pretty good. I was not there, but I think the card sounded like it was pretty good. And you know, a lot of the early ECW excuse me, I should say tri-state regulars were there. A couple of them even worked in matches, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure it was a grand time was had by all. It's the perfect venue for it, obviously. I think it's really cool that you can kind of put a period at the end of the sentence, you know?
Yep.
That's kind of cool. And I congratulate Joel for being, I'll tell you what, when Tri-State was new, he was drawing thousands of people, man. I mean, I'm not saying it was like he was filling up stadiums, but he instantly caught through his radio show in Philadelphia the interest of local fans. They wanted an alternative. They were tired of Matilda the Bulldog.
Yep.
You know, they were tired of NWA cards coming to town that were like B shows.
Yeah.
They wanted some action. They wanted some Memphis. And they got that in space with Tri-State.
Yeah.
There's some of the wildest matches ever in Pennsylvania history. Abdullah versus the Sheik and Cactus Jack versus Eddie Gilbert. Just go down the list of everything they did. Here's Sabu. Here's Owen Hart. Here's this one. Here's that one. Introducing the fans to people they only read about in the magazines, to be true, honest, because the magazines were still around them.
Yeah.
So, he's a bigger influence probably than he even thinks he is, you know, because what he did led to ECW, which led to everything else, which led to things that I don't like full deathmatch organizations, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I also think he had a lot of scientific matches on. People always think of ECW, oh, it was all blood and guts. No, it wasn't. They had a lot of scientific matches there, or evenly matched championship matches.
Yep.
So it was a hodgepodge, but it was all action. And how many people are all action even today?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was nice. Yeah, it was nice that I know Todd Gordon was on the event and kind of gave Joel some, you know, some props and everything else. And, you know, it's nice to recognize that, what do you want to call it? That lineage from Joel, you know, to Todd, to Paulie and everything else from there on out, and how it all, you know, it all started with those cards, you know, of Joel going for broke, and if, you know, and when he ran into his issues, had to call it off. That's when, you know, Todd and some of the other guys stepped up to kind of fill that hole, which, you know, led to, you know, one thing led to another. So, it's nice.
A lot of promoters in that period when I was with the magazine. Yeah. The guys, Gordon Scazzeri with his league and a couple of the others locally. They made the mistake of booking every big name they could find between gigs type of thing. They bring in a Bob Orton. They bring in, you know, anybody. So they bring in people from USWA or Mid-South or something.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, you would discover if you had stuck with a couple of guys that maybe that your fans knew of nationally and your own people, you would have done just as well financially.
Yeah.
Because let's say you bring in, I don't want to bring any names, but say you brought the current champion of Chicago or something, Mike George, from that era. I'm just naming guys from there. Yeah. Is Mike George going to make a big difference in your gate? Mm. My answer is no.
Sure.
People will have heard of him and they'll boo him if he's a heel, but still it was almost like, that's fine. So a lot of these promoters shot themselves in the feet by booking everybody they thought they can afford, and they thought it would equate to bigger box office, and it usually didn't.
Yeah.
And I think it's what killed all those ambitious. I mean, they all had good intentions, all those promotions, every one of them. Joel had good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gordon Scazzeri had good intentions. Nice kid. But it was impossible to draw a profit. You have to make money if you do this stuff. You know, I hate to say it. If you run into wrestling where it says profit should be the first thing you're trying to do.
Sure.
If you don't make money in your first card, don't run a second one.
But it was such a weird time too, right? Because there was a lot of talent out there.
Yeah.
So everybody thought, oh, let's book dream matches. Let's do this and that and bring all these guys in. And it didn't work. It didn't work that way. There was a reason things were changing. And
look, I saw Bob Backlund versus Terry Funk in a high school gym in Connecticut, and that didn't sell the building out.
Yeah.
So again, when you're running a high school, you're starting to run a promotion. I forget who the promoter was, but the thing is, you're only going to go so far with it. I mean, it's like, I can't imagine what they paid Terry Funk and Bob Backlund.
Yeah, no kidding.
So did they make money? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Wrecking Ball. Is there anything else modern wrestling that you're kind of watching? Any other guys' segments that you try to seek out and catch?
I will say it again. I adore the WWE's women's division. Mm-hmm. I think it's something wrestling has needed for 30, 40 years. I like them better than the men because their angles make more sense. Right.
Yeah.
And they don't talk as much. They kind of get down to it. And a lot of them are great athletes. And I just think it gives the show that roller coaster ride feel, up, down, up, down. Here's a high point. Here's a low point. Here's an interview. Here's another high point, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the women's division has been real healthy, and there's good ones in AEW too. Good women wrestlers.
Yeah.
So I give them credit for that. In terms of anybody else that's really catching my eye, I'm on a downer lately. I haven't really been all that excited about anything WWE has produced since WrestleMania. I was let down by WrestleMania.
Yeah,
I thought it was a bomb of epic proportions artistically.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they made money on it, but the Cena heel turn, I still don't agree with. It didn't make any sense to me then. It still doesn't.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. But I was actually what I was going to ask you is what you thought of the Cena heel turn retirement tour thing.
I'm a big rich movie star now. I hate you. What?
Yeah.
Who? For 25 years, he was, you know, hustle, loyalty, and respect, and he turned on a dime like that?
Yeah.
Because The Rock was in the ring? And there was never been an explanation about that since.
Yeah, I know.
So tell me about a disjointed angle. I mean, it's just, and he's good at it. Don't get me wrong. I think since he's turned heel, you know, he's kind of funny, dirty. You know, he's got a twinkle in his eyes as he's lambasting other people. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It still doesn't work for me because yeah. I don't buy it from the word go. I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, it's definitely falling flat. It's not, I don't know. I was invested whatever the prior year with the build me for too. Cody.
Me too.
And all that. And the bloodline thing they had going and all. And I thought they had some really good stuff going on there. And then once Cody got there and everything, I thought, okay, it's not too bad. And then I don't know. It's just been blasé for me since. It's like the, I don't know. And I don't think they can recreate. I don't think they can recreate with another build back to Cody. You know, that he achieved the dream. I don't think it's the same gravitas, you know, but I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, here's the thing. They're still printing money.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I mean.
You know, I'm sure you and I are talking about, we're a couple of old school guys thinking about how they're presenting today's product, but our opinion don't count. We got gray hairs,
that's right.
You know, they're selling to the kids out there who are going eat and singing that song with Jey Uso at every arena. Right. They love that stuff. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's more sizzle than steak than ever before with the introductions and songs and everybody singing along. The fans of the arena want to be part of the show.
Yep.
Here's the problem with that. Psychologically, we're sitting at home. We're not at the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to sing along. Boring to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's exciting there, but it's boring to us because we're not there.
Yep.
I think it's a promotional mistake. They're spending too much time on that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've achieved what Vince McMahon always wanted, right? It's not about the wrestlers. It's about the brand. And, and it's almost like it doesn't matter who's there.
They advertise entire cards without saying a single wrestler's name. It's just, we're coming to Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. And and it's no longer no longer truly a family event, right? Because you can't, your average family can't afford to go to a WrestleMania or anything anymore. I mean,
I got news for you. I always, whenever they come to town to either the Barclays Center, you know, here in New York, Barclays Center or the Garden, I look up ticket prices for just house shows or TV tapings. I fall on the floor. I fall on the floor. $1,000 ringside seats, really?
Yeah.
For a house show? $500 for midline up in the upper tank for over $100? Listen, I'd love to go see a show. I got limits, you know? Even now, I got limits.
Not that much.
I'm doing fine. I got limits, man. I look at the cost enjoyment factor, and I don't think it adds up for me. I'd have to be something really special to get me to see a live event at those prices.
Yeah. So something like, you know, we spoke of like the Cena heel turn and how things like that to us, we don't feel are connecting right. Right. It's working. They're making money. We get that. But artistically or whatever you want, how you want to put it, when you were writing, when you experience something like that, right, where there's an event, an angle, a storyline that you didn't feel was connecting with you or didn't work, was working, but you still had to write an article. You had to try to make the best of it. You had to try to sell it on your guys' end. Was that difficult for you to try to do? Did you find it difficult? Was it a situation that maybe you didn't experience as much then?
That's a good question. But I will say this. When you're putting together what's essentially news, even though there was some kayfabe stuff in there, obviously, right?
Yeah.
They have the magazine with kayfabe. Come on.
Yeah.
You still leave your fandom at the door. You don't let that, you know, if it's sure. something that we have decided to put, let's say, in PWI and in the new issue, and we thought it was of interest, it doesn't matter whether I like it or not.
Sure.
I'm going to report on it and write about an incident or a match or a controversy or stuff like that. No, my own fandom never really entered into it, except in my own column. I had two columns in two of the different magazines. Then I could kind of write about whatever I felt like writing about, you know?
Yeah.
But I had to write many a Hulk Hogan article, and I frankly was never a fan of Hulk Hogan. I'm like, what the hell am I going to say about him now? You know, it's one of those deals, you know? But no, you did what was, well, I hate to say the term, but best for business.
Sure.
Who we thought that the fans would be most interested in.
Yeah.
And if it was an angle, like you say, that I had no interest in, I thought it was faulty, I let it ride.
So,
you know, we had our columns to write about stuff we didn't agree with.
So Bob Smith, the writer, would have put over the Cena heel turn like it was the biggest thing in the history of professional wrestling.
Oh, hell yeah. Cena, how could you do this? Exclamation point. Ken Morgan would design the cover.
Traitor.
The cover of Inside Wrestling. Exactly right.
So since you're not watching a lot of modern wrestling then, when Bob Smith sits down in front of a TV, what are you watching?
That's the greatest question anybody asked me. I am an awful TV watcher. I still watch organized professional sports and a lot of old stuff. I'm an old man when it comes. And in the era of the Roku, I am in heaven. Because mm-hmm. I can watch reruns of The Odd Couple. I can look at the entire Three Stooges catalog. I can watch, what are the shows that I used to, The Honeymoon? You just go down the list. I'm an old school. I mean, I've been watching Star Trek, the original seasons now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I do not watch regular episodic television at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
I do watch some news, you know, and stuff like that. I am a loyal Saturday Night Live fan, I will say that.
Mm, yeah.
Loyal from the very first season of 1975 till today. I just consider it a treat every weekend. I've laughed at it throughout all these years, all 50 years.
Yeah.
I once submitted a writing test for them.
There's oh, yeah?
A little bit Bob Tripp trivia for you. Yeah, I somehow got a hold of somebody who taught me how, you know, here's how you go about it. I never heard anything. I didn't think I would, but, you know, I you know, at least I had the opportunity to apply, so to speak. So anyway, no, I am weird TV guy. And of course, I'm a big fan of your videos.
Yeah.
Give me that WWA, baby. Give me that Bruiser Bedlam, Jack.
You're also, I believe, a fellow fan of the MeTV Toon channel, right? I mean, you've talked about that.
Oh, like crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was just watching it the other day, yeah.
I was just watching it before we recorded. a little bit ago before we recorded.
Well, where else are you going to see Mr. Magoo? And, you know, some of the esoterica they have in there is great. Stuff I haven't seen since I was literally 4 or 5 years old.
I know. I could put it on, just leave it on nonstop. And just, I mean, I'm entertained by all of it. And the weird thing is, I see so many cartoons, so many segments, and I'm like, oh, it just brings it back to me. It's like I can remember seeing that and hadn't thought about it in decades.
Yeah, that's right. I saw a Harvey tune about, I think the character is called Red Lantern. He was a fish. And these two kids were, you know, accidentally caught him, and he brings him down to his kingdom. It was just... But I remember seeing that when I was this tiniest little kid, and I was like, oh, man, talk about bringing you back.
Yeah.
That's what those MeTV stations are so good for, and the others that are like it, Antenna TV and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, man. It's like, I love my old stuff. I love my old cartoons. I really do.
Well, you know, you cover a lot of topics on your show. You discuss factions here recently. You've discussed Southwest Wrestling recently.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the WWA, but if you were to go down a wrestling viewing rabbit hole, What does that look like for you? What's my
goal when wrestling video rabbit hole? I want to see stuff I never saw before from the old days. And there's a lot of it out there.
Yeah.
You know, between you and Crispy Lettuce and the Zavoldis and all this other stuff that's out there, I want to immerse myself in organizations I didn't have the opportunity to see when they were originally around. Because we all didn't. It was all territorial back then.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff I'm not well versed in. Like, I didn't see a lot of Calgary, even though we were writing about it in the magazines. We would see it occasionally, but we didn't see it every week. Memphis, I got to see every week. Continental, got to see every week. Other stuff we were covering, we got to see it every week.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of action out there. Like somebody, I guess it's around. I think it's on Sebold, and I think Dave Dynasty, Crispy Lettuce has this stuff too. I should say Armstrong Alley, by the way.
Yeah.
But they have this Dominic DiNucci organization for the early 90s or late 80s or something. And I'm fascinated by it. I never saw it before. And it's like they have Zabisco and Johnny Valiant and Dominic, of course, and Ron Shaw getting a push and Hans Schroeder getting a push. And I'm like, wow. Mm. I think they were leading up for a Bruno Zabisco rematch, but they folded before it happened, according to what I was told by somebody. But it's like, this is the kind of stuff, even if it's just squashes, I want to watch it.
Yeah.
I love squash. I love squash matches.
Me too.
Squash matches should still be happening.
Oh, I really think.
How do you know a guy's move set?
Yep.
Unless you see him demolish somebody three or four times. Either scientific guy, listen to me, either a fan favorite or rule breaker, like we used to say into there, right? How do you know what they can do until they do it?
Yep.
If they're down in their first four or five matches to another contender type wrestler, that doesn't make any sense to me when you're introducing somebody.
Yep.
He's either any style of wrestler, you got to let him win a lot. And then let them face other people that are the cow. They don't do that anymore.
Nope.
They just throw them in there.
Yeah.
Hi, here's Penta. Get in there with Chad Gable.
Yep. I always love it when I encounter something that I didn't see, but I remember reading about. You know, and it's like, oh, I remember reading about this angle. I remember seeing pictures, and here it is. Now I'm actually getting to see it. And it's almost like in my mind's eye, it's like you feel like you've seen it, you know, because you read about it, it's almost surreal sometimes when you get that right, because it's like you experienced it one way and now you're actually getting to see it and you're comparing these two versions. And it's pretty fun.
I always think about the stuff that's lost now, like the Blassie angle with John Tolis, which was on television.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever see that. And also the first Federation I ever watched, they did a show with Brian Solomon on his show recently with Paige Sutherland about the NWF, you know, the Buffalo Cleveland organization.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Every single frame of that was taped over. They would reuse the tape cartridge. You know about this stuff.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, it's gone. I mean, it's completely gone except for a couple of film clips.
Yep.
How sad is that? But again, these people never dreamed there'd be something called the VCR, right?
Yep. Nope.
Or that people 50 years later would be interested in seeing it again?
Yeah. They didn't even know what syndication was.
No, so, they didn't. They didn't know. Yeah.
So... Or rerun. I mean, there was none of that. I mean, they didn't know what any of that meant. And
well, some organizations had one TV station.
Yep. but it was a different, right? It was a different makeup though, too, because the TV show was just meant to get you to the live show.
Right.
That's all they cared. They could care less if anybody watched it again. Is they just wanted the people to watch to get, you know, come and buy a ticket. And so, I mean, it was a totally different business model. And they didn't know there would be, you know, if they'd known there was revenue to be made off those tapes, every promoter would have kept every tape.
Which amazes me. People like Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz and Jackie Gleason somehow had the foresight to preserve that stuff on great quality film.
I know it.
And I don't know what they were thinking or how smart they were, but they were right. You know what I'm saying? It's like somehow Jackie Gleason said, really thought he had a quote that's saying the Honeymooners is going to be on forever. I better preserve this as best I can.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's been on forever.
Yeah. I mean, guys like Desi Arnaz developed so much for television that it's remarkable. It's just incredible.
Amazing. I mean, including stuff like, I guess it was Mannix and Star Trek and The Untouchables, probably the most violent show ever on TV.
Yeah. So what types of things can the listeners expect coming up with the Outdated Wrestling Hour in the coming weeks and months? Any topics that, you know, in mind? Anything you can tease on?
Who's coming up? Well, you are. We're trying to get you to say a few words, Bub, and sure. we'll work on that in a little bit. But I'm also got Steve Generali coming back, and we're going to talk about some underrated guys who don't get enough play that we want people to reach out to the videotape world and watch.
Yeah.
And we've got some other irons in the fire. Our usual coterie of guests, Joe Pucciari, will discuss whether, you know, I'm boring for liking Carvel vanilla more than pistachio, but you know how this stuff works.
Sure.
You know, it's no, but I'll tell you what, the Carvel thing, I'm telling you, it's got a life of its own now. People are writing and look what they're sending me pictures. I had a sundae today. I'm like, you don't have to.
It's funny because Midwest, we didn't have that. We didn't have that in the Midwest.
No, you didn't. Right.
No. But and now, I mean, right at the moment, I live in North Carolina. We don't have them here either. But you can buy the cakes in stores in the freezer.
Yes. Yeah. So, it's a national product. That is.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a, you know, but no, I had no clue what that was growing up.
Definitely. You know, I wonder if maybe we're limiting my audience because it really wasn't East Coast, particularly with Tom Carvel. Did you ever see those ads on video? It's like, he was introduced by the guy who owned the thing. He had this gravelly voice that sounds like my staff announcer on my podcast. And he would say, "This is Tom Carvel, now available at your participating Carvel ice cream store. It's Fudgy the Whale.
Yeah.
For a whale of a dad. Perfect for Father's Day." And what made everybody love the ads was Tom. He had this gritty, gravelly, non-announcer's voice. "Please stop in. Thank you." You know, it was just one of those old school things.
But I think everybody can relate to it because every region had that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't know his last name, but there was a guy that in Indiana grew up, his name was Don, and he owned Don's Guns. And this dude, you'd watch his commercials for his gun shop, and you would think he was psychotic because his commercials would portray him like stunning people. Then he'd have this sadistic looking smile, and his tagline was, and it's like in retrospect, man, this, but there's so much of that. I mean, in regional TV, I mean, I remember, you know, the regional kid show host when I was a kid, you know, and the horror host in Indiana, Sammy Terry and stuff like that. We had, you know, all that, which is Bob Carter, who also did some wrestling announcement.
Oh man, you're bringing me back. Where I'm from in upstate New York, we used to have a guy named Commander Ralph, who was really the weatherman.
Yeah.
Right on the station. But yeah. He was set in a boat. "Oh, matey, we're going to go and watch Iron Man cartoons now." Yeah. You know, it was just, I love the local flavor. And you know something? I saw NWA Wildside on a cable system about 20 years ago at this point, right? For some reason, my New York City cable put on this Georgia independent station overnight. I don't know why. But they also had a clown show for children in the morning. And the clown, he had clown makeup on, but he was always wearing sweatpants, right? And it was the most amateurish clown. And I love watching this thing because it was giving me the local flavor. The parents were there with their little kids, you know?
Yeah.
I love that kind of thing. That's what makes local TV is very underrated in terms of entertainment value.
That's why on my YouTube channel, I have two episodes of WWE from, I think, 67, 68, around that time. And they're hosted by Chuck Marlowe, who in Indiana also hosted and did some announcing on IU basketball, college basketball. And then on one of the episodes, Bob Carter is doing interviews, who was the local horror host, Sammy Terry. And so it's just like everybody, you know, did everything. And then and it was nothing to go to, you know, to in Indiana to go to a parade or a fair and, you know, to see Sammy Terry there in full makeup and sitting by Dick the Bruiser and sitting by Cowboy Bob, who hosted the kids show, signing autographs.
Wow. You see, that's American to me, man. That's America. That local flavor.
So,
you know,
so
when I was a traveling musician, the best thing to do, I told the guys in the band, I said, "We're not eating at McDonald's. We're not eating at Burger King. We're going to go to the local diners. We're going to go to the local restaurants.
Yeah.
And we're going to just discover the local color of what makes this town that town." And we learned to love places like Atlanta and Philadelphia. And we especially love Florida and the Carolinas. Just you never knew who you'd bump into. And it was like country Western bars with that real flavor. You know, I love traveling and seeing cities that I'm not always part of.
Yeah, we still try to do that when we travel. As much as possible, I try to eat non-chain stuff wherever we go to, you know, try to eat something local, something mom and pop, something. I always want to know, if you live in that town, where would you eat?
Yes.
And that's where I want to eat.
No, I don't understand. I live in New York City, right? What's a Red Lobster doing right in the middle of town? And who would go there?
Yeah.
It's one of the great food cities in the world. And you're eating a Red Lobster? What's wrong with you?
Really? Yeah. So Bob, if you had a potential dream guest on a future episode, realistic dream guest, we're not going to bring somebody back from the dead. Who would that be? A modern guest?
Triple H.
Yeah.
I want to ask him, do people like me, who started watching professional wrestling and understanding it way back in 1970, but still look at it, we still watch it, we're still involved with it, we still care, do we count? Does the older fan base have any meaning in today's wrestling world? Is it all marketing towards tweens and high school kids and college kids? You know, it doesn't matter that I can name the first 15 WWF champions in order. Does that matter? Does that type of thing resonate with you guys? And I imagine that would elicit a really interesting response. So I am bound and determined to talk to him. I really am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk to him because it's like, I think it's a question that nobody ever thought of asking him before.
Yeah.
I know Bill Apter went to a couple of their press conferences and stuff, but he just asked about the current card. Just give me 10 minutes with Triple H. That would have been my dream guest.
Yeah.
Because I want to understand the countenance of today's promoters as opposed to the ones that I work with, you know, closely, you know, talking the indies, talking to USWA, people that I could talk to about the promotion, about what their mindset was. I can't imagine what it's like with an organization as far flung as what today's wrestling is. You know, it's like such a major corporation now.
Yeah,
there must be a lot of moving parts. But still, the question would be, and it's not meant as a mean-spirited question or a criticism. I just want to know if full-grown adults count today. I think it's a valid question.
Yeah, because you would think, I mean, right, you could put a little flavor for everybody, and there doesn't seem to be that much of that vein there, right, to draw that. It's like, if it's almost like they don't appeal to anybody that didn't become a wrestling fan in the 90s. That's about as old as they go anymore. And I don't know.
Well, let's face it, when they have musical guests, or, you know, the guy who got involved with this year's WrestleMania, whose name I still can't remember. Yeah. They're going for what's hot and fresh. You know, Jelly Roll was on the WrestleMania and all this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Today, hot. You know, they want the current artists and things like that involved. And if, you know, if there's a movie star, it'll be somebody that, you know, in the front row, he'll wave and people will know who it is and I won't have a clue.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So, but none of that matters to me. What does matter to me is the psychology of a wrestling match, and that has changed.
Yep.
I'm bothered by the constant outside interference in virtually 80% of the matches. No disqualifications ever. You know, rule breakers are allowed to do whatever they feel like doing. To me, it's become so repetitive in that regard. It's always a game of one-upmanship. And I think WWE covets the best insult more than they do the best match. You notice they have 20-minute segments of two guys barking at each other.
Sure.
Waiting for that juicy insult. Ooh, and the crowd goes like that. I think they care more about that than they do the matches.
Sure. The viral moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Stuff that they can sell until the next week's show.
Put on a t-shirt. Yeah. I mean,
Good point. Excellent point. I like that point.
Yeah. Well, Bob, let's wrap it there. I think we'll stop there. We'll wrap this. We'll transition over, do a little bit for yours. But before we close out my segment here, where can fans, your podcast on every platform, but what's the best way, you know, for them to, is there a best way for them to follow you or to follow Pack? I mean, anywhere you like to drive people.
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm legitimately proud, that my name listed alongside yours at WrestleCopia. I'm a big admirer of yours. And frankly, you were the deciding factor of me talking to Ray Russell about getting involved.
Because I
like your show and I like your style. And it's a mature, well-done podcast. I'm thinking, this is the kind of thing I'd like to be associated with right here.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, you were a big reason why I wanted to be part of that.
Yeah.
But if you want to find us, You could go to WrestleCopy.com. All of our recent shows are there. But here's what I tell people to do now, and it's just easier for my age group. I just say, type in Bob Smith outdated wrestling, and everything will come right up.
Sure.
In your browser.
There you go.
All the podcast. I'm on virtually every podcast app with that, and the outdated entertainment is on most podcasts, and not as many.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're also on YouTube. You can find us there. It's really easy to find. Bob Smith's easy to spell. Outdated. In fact, I think if you typed in as much as Bob Smith outdated, everything will come up in your browser.
There you go.
And you can partake. I don't Patreon my fans for old shows. I have a website, outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout.com. All the old shows that we've ever done are there. I keep them up for free. I just want listeners, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Listeners to me mean more than money, than monetization. I just want to have an audience. And to me, knowing I have an audience. Seeing the results we've had the last 6 months, it's been exciting, man. I have fulfilled my goal here.
Yeah.
In doing this podcast. I think I'm a legitimate part of the scene, and that makes me excited.
Me too. This is the way that I like to keep engaged with wrestling here. This is my preferred avenue. I like talking to guys that share like-minded. I like talking to wrestlers, hearing their stories, and it's just so it works for me. It feels that urge for me. When I really want, you know, my wrestling fix. So it's what works for me. So, but Bob, thank you for joining me again. I'm sure you'll be back on again at some point down the road.
Well, I was delighted with the invitation. Thank you very much.
And you're
to
very
me,
welcome.
To me, it's a compliment that you wanted me to come back here. This is the third time, I think.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know.
I want to get the jacket for the Five Timers Club. You know?
It's a Saturday Night Live reference, right?
Exactly.
You're going to be the Steve Martin of the show.
Oh, God. I'll be the Martin Short. I'll be serving the drinks.
That's right. All right.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to the Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guides for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network? Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade? So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and thank you to Bob for coming back on the show and doing that with me. Guys, make sure you follow him everywhere on social media. You can find him on Facebook. I believe he's on X at BobSmithNYC. And make sure you listen to the Outdated Wrestling Podcast on the WrestleCopia Network. While you're out there, make sure you listen to all of them. All the shows on the network. They're all fun. They all pretty much cover wrestling history. Great guests. Great hosts. Go to WrestleCopia.com for all the links, all the information, everything you need. Or you can just look up the individual podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. Also, be sure to follow me on social media. You can look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty. You'll find me pretty much everywhere. I'm out there. Just look for me. And also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to classicwrestling.net to download and sign up. And then get that app on all of your smart devices and watch the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. All right, guys. Thank you for being patient with me. As if you follow me on social media, you know that I'm in the process of trying to purchase a house. Everything's going well so far, you know, but it's one of those things where you're always on nerves because there's always one more thing they need, and it's just such a process, so time-consuming. Plus, I'm in the process of packing, so I'm kind of flying. Like I told Bob, when we were chatting offline, that I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants here. So if I miss a week here and there, I'm okay. Don't get discouraged with me. Just remember that I'm in the process of moving states, got a lot going on. Once I get settled, everything will get back in a regular groove. But I'm going to try to keep plugging away the best I can. So thank you for supporting and your patience. And until the next time we talk, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia is copyright Dave Dynasty. Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.